At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Is this going to be a little emotional?
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
Stuck at the office or traffic jam. Time to take it easy with Alyssa and Sam. Is that show you know? A promo.
Well, it will be announced at this point, but yeah. If you guys missed it in a past episode... Approachable.
Stop! Don't even start!
I know. Approachable is coming to a close.
Yeah.
Approached is coming to an open.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
And I mean, the approachable spirit lives on. Alyssa and I are still together.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're never breaking up the team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Someone DM'd me and said, you can't break up the commune. I was like, we don't plan to. Yeah. Just because approachable is being put to rest doesn't mean our love for each other is.
So true.
Yeah. So for the last time. Do you want to ask me if I'm ready?
Are you ready?
No.
I'm not ready.
No. I'm ready. I've been ready.
All right. Let's do it. We're going to go through all of our past episodes.
Yeah.
And just reflect, because that seems like the sentimental thing to do.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you came up with that, actually, knowing how sentimental I am.
You know, I think it's, like, nice to, like, go back sometimes. And also, like, I feel like... To me, this podcast has, like, changed so much about, like, our friendship. And, like, I've learned so much about you. So I think it's just kind of cool to, like, go back and look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to cry, though.
Yeah, you're, like, 8 months pregnant trying to do this. So our very first episode ever was Are You an Imposter?
Yeah.
And that episode actually got us to number one on the New and Noteworthy, the top charts.
Yeah, which was crazy. We weren't, like, sure exactly how it was going to go, like, with starting the podcast and stuff. But, like, the reception on that first episode was so great. And we talked about imposter syndrome, which I think is, like, it's a topic that, like, more people should know about. It's a topic that I feel like once you learn about it, it really helps, like, put things into perspective. If you haven't listened to it or you don't know what that is, basically imposter syndrome is just thinking, like, you're not good enough or that you don't deserve what you have or that other people deserve it more than you or whatever kind of thing. And I think this is something that we all sort of experience. And I'm sure that we were experiencing it a little bit too at the time that we recorded.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I've struggled with imposter syndrome in so many different avenues of my life, being a bar manager at like 23, 24. I mean, like being in charge of an entire team, going to like meetings with all these people who understand spreadsheets and cost of sales. And I'm like, huh? You know what I mean? And then coming into the podcast and stuff like that. When we started the podcast, the conversation around me was very different. It was a lot of people were feeling like I was your sidekick or that I started my YouTube channel because I wanted to be like you and stuff like that. And I think like throughout the years, because it's been 2 years now, people kind of have like grown to know me a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so they can like see me as this whole person instead of
perception kind of thing.
Yeah, like an add-on of you. And like I started my YouTube like 2 years before I moved in with you. My videos were way worse. As is with anything that you start, right? Like you kind of find your groove and stuff like that. But I felt imposter syndrome around that as well. Like being on the podcast and feeling like I was an important part of it. Do you know what I mean? Which was something that was interesting to me. Like, I just quickly listened back to a couple of our episodes, just like snippets. It's so interesting because I do now feel so like secure in like my worth online, like whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm like that shit. You know what I mean? But like I'm happy with what I'm doing, and I feel like I deserve to be what I'm doing, like doing what I'm doing as well.
Yeah. Well, and even just like, I mean, beyond the podcast, you've worn a lot of hats over the past 2 years. You've like really explored, well, the past 3 years, I guess, like since you moved in kind of thing, which like it's crazy it's even been that long. But, and also it feels like it went by so fast.
I know.
But you've explored so many new avenues and so many different directions and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, like, remember when I was going on set at like 5 a.m
it's so weird
doing like 11-hour set days.
That feels like again, like it feels like so long ago, but at the same time, like just last week.
I know,
it's so odd.
I know,
you freaking have lived a lot of lives in the past 3 years.
I know,
I've been doing the same old fucking shit.
Yeah, but I mean, not really, because you started a makeup brand.
Yeah, but that was already, like, in the war. That was, like, happening, like, behind the scenes, so it doesn't feel like a new thing for me. Oh, fair. Boy. Episode 2, Puke Lattes and Other Drunk Stories.
That, honestly, like, still is one of my favorite episodes, just because, like, it was so fun. I love that story of you and the puke latte cup.
It's so weird that you were drinking when we started the podcast.
I know.
Like, I was saying, because Alyssa's been sober now for almost...
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years, which is fucking crazy.
I know.
But I was saying the other day, I'm like, it feels like you have always been sober. Like, mm-hmm. like because it's so not a part of, like, our lives. Because I also don't drink, especially now. but it's so weird to even think that you were at the time.
Yeah, like, when we started the podcast, I was probably like in not a great place. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was at the point where I knew that I was having like a lot of like guilt and shame around drinking, and I wasn't drinking because I was very secretive with my drinking, as I've said like online so many times. So people wouldn't often see me, other than my partner wouldn't see me like really drunk or anything like that, but like I would be hungover. You know what I mean? And just like pretending that I'm fine and stuff like that,
which is so weird because like I mean, obviously we live together, but like in separate spaces, obviously, but yeah, I feel like I never saw you drink, really. I never thought it was like a thing. So it's been interesting now, like watching like your whole sober journey and just like coming to understand like how much it was like a part of your life versus now it's
watching like how much I've grown in myself since I took out that substance.
Yeah,
it's just wild.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it was it was shortly after this that you started, because I think there is because you stopped drinking in August
June.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
June
god,
15th.
So that happened over season one.
That's so crazy.
You started, you were drinking at the beginning of season one, you stopped drinking throughout. Episode 3 was Millennials, which this one, I think I was kind of like, I don't know how that one's going to, like, do. Like, I was kind of, like, humming and hawing about...
Even releasing it.
Yeah, and we actually recorded quite a few... I mean, over the course of the podcast, we've recorded quite a few episodes that never made it to air. But, yeah, I was, like, kind of like, oh, like, are people going to be interested in this one? Is it going to be, like, a boring conversation? I don't know. But that episode did... so well.
I think it was one of our most popular episodes. I think it still is. I think that one is number one, and number two is the addiction episode with Matt. But yeah, it did phenomenally well. And we spoke about like the difference between millennials and like boomers and Gen X and stuff like that, and wage discrepancy and inflation, and how there's this like, at the time it was the boomers like kind of hating on, and Gen X first for a little bit, hating on millennials. And now it's so interesting looking back, because right now it's kind of like Gen Z is like
making fun of millennials.
Yeah.
I know, I'm so offended anytime like that, like, because I'm not on TikTok, but like anytime a TikTok makes it to my timeline on like Twitter or whatever, where I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe we're like the butt of the it never ends, it's relentless from both fucking sides.
Honestly,
not good enough for the boomers, like the Gen Z thinks we're like losers.
God. But you know what's funny about that to me, and I do have quite a few like Gen Z that follow me on Instagram, and they're like, we don't care, like we don't care about you, and I'm like, shade. But I think it's more so like, I mean, we are getting older. Do you know what I mean? And so when like, when I looked at like 30-year-olds, when I was like 15, I was like, you fucking,
you're old as shit. Yeah.
So I get it. Like, it's fine. Now, what is interesting to me is all of these fashion trends that like were a thing when we were younger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we did that. But then I remember my dad, when it was the flared pants, which is funny that they're coming back around. Fashion is so cyclical.
It is, man. My mom used to say that to me when I was growing up, and I was like, oh, that shit's never coming back in style.
And here we go. Yeah. And yeah, my dad was just saying that flared pants were popular when he was younger and told me fashion was cyclical.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and now here we go.
Yeah.
It's like the skinny jeans are out.
Yeah. And like the mom jeans coming into style and stuff, which like I thought like, yeah, I thought like straight up skinny jeans were going to be, why would it ever go out of style?
Yeah.
They're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't let them go personally. I'm not about to fucking wear some flared ass pants.
No.
I feel like you have to be like 10 feet fucking tall for that shit, man.
Here's the my thing with like mom jeans is my legs and butt in comparison to my waist doesn't make sense for mom jeans. I can't do it because either the waist is like gaping and they're like suction cupped to my thighs or I can't get them over my butt or my thighs. And so it just, I've tried, like I've tried to be cool and hip in mom jeans, even the jeans that you wore in on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like I tried those exact pair on and I was like,
I was just going to say mom jeans is like the perfect place for me because I have no butt whatsoever. And that's like the whole point to me of a mom jean, I feel, is that it's just like loose and stupid in your butt. And like that's, it works so great for me.
They look really cute with high heels.
Yeah.
I love
it. So true. So true.
Yeah. That was a popular episode.
I didn't think that we did this so early on.
Oh, wow. I'm playing it. We were bold.
Yeah, we were jumping into the controversial topics. I thought that was way later on. Episode 4 was When Does Life Begin? And that was one where we discussed, we talked about abortion and there were some laws changing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
In
the United States, yeah.
Yeah, in the United States. But yeah, I'm surprised that we took that one on so early.
We were friggin' bold, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But that episode was... It was a mixed bag, the response.
Yeah, I think that was our first foray into receiving, not hate mail, but there were some...
It towed the line.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, I mean, I think that that was to be expected with the topic at hand. And both you and I are very, like, set in our beliefs of pro-choice. And actually, I think it was only, like, 6 months ago I had somebody tag me in a video saying they couldn't believe that I was pro-choice, relating it back to this episode 2 years ago. And usually it's just, like, I don't even want to, like, fight about it because I agree that you have your own right to your own choice, right?
Yeah,
that's part of being pro-choice. If you believe that you think that you should keep your child, 1,000%, that's your right. So I don't even like, but that one I was like, let me put on my glasses. You know what I mean? Because she was trying to discredit like, she was trying to discredit like actual science in that thing. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm not.
We're not even having a discussion about
that. Yeah, because there are things I know in that episode we debated over when does consciousness begin.
Mm.
And so there's really no definitive way to, like, prove, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can prove when a fetus begins to feel pain, I believe is what we talked about in that episode, based on, I think it was neurons. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember what it was exactly. So there was some gray area in there, but I think, if I recall, she was saying some things where I was like, oh, but that's not actually correct.
It's
and
not real.
Yeah, in the video, I think they were saying that the gestation was like a lot further along than it was. And so I was like, but you're not even like painting an accurate picture in this propaganda.
Yeah.
Because you're flat out lying. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it is crazy that we started that. I had to call a lawyer to like research for it.
Yeah, but I remember that like, we were moved to do, like, I think that we were nervous about it, but we were like, no, yeah, like, we want to talk about this because it was, like, current and it was happening right then. But also, I got a thing in the mail the other day for like it was like an anti-abortion flyer, and it had like pictures of like aborted fetuses and stuff like that. And I was like, this is so cruel to send out. Like, I get that you're trying to go for like the shock value to like prove a point kind of thing, but it's like, this is so cruel. Like, who knows like who you're delivering this to?
Yeah.
And what they're going through and stuff like that. It was so like I've seen that shit before, like when people are like out doing it on the streets and stuff, but to have it delivered to my house, I was like, oh, I feel so violated, like I'm pregnant right now. Like, yeah. This was just, and like being pregnant and, you know, living, because obviously like I'm pro-choice as well, but it's like living with that constant fear. Like, I think so many pregnant people experience that, of being like so scared that something's gonna happen kind of thing. And just seeing that imagery, I was like, man, this is just like not the way. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that that's the goal though, to like you know, humanize obviously the mm-hmm. fetus that you could possibly be aborting, but it, to me, it doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how much nuance goes into that decision. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that most people that choose to have an abortion, they make an informed decision and they know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's, like I said, like so much nuance, and the statistics on how far along people are when they get an abortion, because a lot of people are saying for late stage abortion, and a lot of the photos and stuff like that are depicted in more later stages.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the statistics now, but it was like overwhelmingly like early.
Yeah.
Instead of late. Like, I think it was less than 1% or something like that was late stage.
Yeah.
Like third trimester. But yeah.
Well, and in a lot of places, it's not legal unless it's like medically,
yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, even just beyond abortion, it's like, I don't think that most people go into any medical thing lightly,
no.
You know, like, so yeah, I don't know. But it was a controversial response.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we did that episode. And I learned a lot actually from that episode too.
Mm-hmm. I have one more thing to say.
Hit me.
The other thing that really irritates me with that pro-life movement, I guess, is that they're not offering any solutions for,
yeah.
Parents after the fact. So you want us to, quote, save these, quote, babies.
Yeah.
But you don't want to give any resources to help, yeah. after the fact, you know? And again, so much nuance. And I just don't think that you need to, like, explain to someone why.
Yeah.
You know, like, I need to have a good enough reason.
Well, and as with any other, again, as with any other medical thing, it's none of your business.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we actually touched on that in that episode, talking about, you know, like the issues around like adoption and like all the kind of like options that are put forth kind of thing, and how, like, if someone's going to be keeping the child and not, you know, putting it up for adoption or whatever, it's like there really are so few, if any, resources in most people's areas.
Mm-hmm.
To help care for that child, to provide any kind of like education around like parenthood, labor, anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, that's such an undertaking. And I mean, now especially, I feel even more strongly about it, because it's like, you know, the things that can go wrong during labor and pregnancy, the changes in your body, like that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much to it. And I really, like, I feel more strongly than ever, like, if you're not ready for that, That's a big thing to expect someone to just do.
Yeah.
You know?
And my feelings stay that, like, the longer it goes on, the more emotional I get about the thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in a perfect world, you find out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, for sure. And in that episode, I talk about that. I'm like, I struggle with, like, 6 months in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that does, you know, elicit a response in me for sure. But I think that you can have that as well, be part of your,
mm-hmm.
you know, ideals. And
well, it can be not right for you.
No, and like, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. But again, not my decision to decide that on somebody else's behalf,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah, the reason that we were so, like, moved to do that was because women's rights were absolutely being, like, attacked.
Yeah.
In the United States.
Oh, man. It's been, I mean, politically a wild ride over the past 2 years.
No kidding.
Oh, boy. Episode 5 was depression and anxiety.
That was a viewer request. That was our first viewer request.
Was it?
Yeah. And her name was Samantha.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then you said, Samantha, I love her already. Great name.
Yeah, that was, I was almost like sad that we did that one so early on, because like it's something that I can always come back to and talk about, which we've brought up depression and anxiety in so many different other episodes and mm-hmm. in different contexts and stuff like that. But that's always been something that's just like important to, I mean, just I think mental health in general has been important for us to talk about.
Yeah. And I did listen to a bit of that episode. And it's so interesting listening back, hearing about you asking me about anxiety, because mm-hmm. I was really just at like the beginning of understanding mental health.
Yeah.
Back then. And
which is also crazy, because now you seem so well, like you are so well versed in mental health. You know what I mean? Thank like you. And yeah, it's so interesting. It's
I had just started going to therapy back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wild. And now, like, I mean, I made so many big changes, like quitting drinking and exercise. And I said this in one of my recent videos.
Not quitting exercise.
But. Oh, did I say quitting exercise?
You said quitting drinking and exercise. No. And I decided to cut out all the toxic shit in my life, drinking, exercise, fuck them both.
No, I started exercising. I said this in one of my recent videos because I think it can be, like, frustrating hearing people say, like, just eat well and exercise. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm so lucky that like that genuinely, it changes my life. Like
yeah.
over the last week, I feel like I'm the only one talking in this episode. I'm so sorry.
Not at all.
But I, over the last week and a half, I got an IUD and at the time that we're filming this.
Has it only been a fucking week and a half?
It might be 2 weeks now.
Oh God. This fucking last few weeks is just going so goddamn slowly. Oh my God.
Time's just inchworming by. Oh,
truly.
But I haven't been able to exercise because it's just really painful for me. And I cannot believe, like, I thought I didn't have anxiety anymore. I was like,
anxiety? Never heard of her.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's just like a thing I used to struggle with. It came back as if it had never left. Like, immediately when I would wake up, I would have like the tightness in my chest, unable to breathe, feeling super awkward, like not really knowing, like not being able to like look people, like even you in the eye, like I'd be like, it was so weird. And I'm like, oh, this is, I know what this is now. I'm back in like anxiety.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to kind of like stagger my gym days, and I'm noticing like, okay, my anxiety's going away. Yeah. It's just so crazy, man. When you find something that works for you, it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, beautiful.
Well, and also just like realizing that like the normal you thought you, I think we talked about that in the episode too, but like the normal you thought that you had versus like what normal can actually feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But even just hearing you explain anxiety, like I kind of like would experience like here and there, but it was always really, really fleeting kind of thing. But during pregnancy, I've been experiencing anxiety more than ever. And like, it is just like it's misery to me. Like that is like the absolute worst shit on the planet. Like I don't know how anybody copes.
Yeah, but you said in a recent video of yours, you were like, it's like the devil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because recently I had my first like real, like I wasn't diagnosed with depression or anything like that, but like through talking to Sam and like explaining my symptoms, I think that I had depression for like literally a week. I
yeah,
think
it was like a little bout.
Yeah, like, yeah, not like I have depression. It was like, what would you even call that?
Like situational.
Yeah. From my birth control. And it was like, I was like, I don't know what, like I actually felt like I was going, I know I don't like to use the word crazy because I know that it has a bad connotation, but that's truly what I was thinking in my head is like, I feel like I'm going crazy. Like I was concerned about like my actions and like stuff like that. Not like I wasn't like scared for my well-being, but like, it was just, I was crying and like hopeless and I was like, what is going on with me?
Yeah.
So I really think it is like the devil, you know, like mm-hmm. me just going through that for like 1 week. I was like, how do you live?
Yeah. Honestly. Well, it's so funny because like depression is my main bitch. Yeah. Like it's like, I mean, it sucks still. It's like horrible, obviously, but like it's so much more, I don't know. I think it's just, because I think for me, it's like, anxiety is so overwhelmingly physical
mm-hmm.
and I hate that, like shit being in my mind, I'm like, yes, I can like deal with that all day all night.
Okay.
But like And not that, like, depression doesn't have physical symptoms, too, sometimes. But, God, like, it's just that feeling of anxiety is just the worst to me.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. Having it come back, I was like, nope, don't want this. I took my little CBD and I was like, nope.
Not doing it.
Go away, Satan.
Oh, God. Episode chicks. Chicks. Episode six was What Choices Made You Who You Are. That was one of my favorite episodes to record.
Yeah, it was fun because I feel like we got to learn a lot about each other.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. Again, like, it's so funny because we have known each other for so long, but, like, living together over the past 3 years, like, I know you so much better now. And in a way, because, like, I would have said that, like, I know you pretty well mm-hmm. before then, but I actually feel like I know nothing about you. Like now looking back, I'm like, could I have even, like, listed like 10 things I know of? I don't know that I could have. Like, it's so odd. So that was that episode. I believe it was like a Dr. Phil thing, actually. He did it on his podcast. But we discussed the choices, people, and moments that led to what made us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was, I think it's just that one was like so fun to me to record, even though like parts of it were hard, because like it's just such a good exercise to kind of like reflect back on your life.
This is really sad, but two of the points, because it was like a points, like the things, I think it was like choices and then people, pivotal people or something like that. Two of those people have since passed away. Like, that's just wild to me that, like, when we started this, do you know what I mean? And, like, those are people that, like, regardless of how they impacted my life, like, they're no longer here.
Yeah.
That's just wild.
I mean, honestly, like, freaking, again, I keep saying it, you've just, like, lived one fucking hell of a life. It's, like, never ending.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's so rough. But it was just, it's such a weird thing, like, when you were just saying that, I was like, what were mine? And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, two, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
A tough episode, but that's one I feel like I'll go back and listen to.
Yeah, I did actually listen to it, I think, a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a good, again, like a good reflecting point.
Yeah.
Episode 7, Can You Die in Your Dream?
I really have nothing to say about this.
I don't either.
Like, people actually really liked this episode, but we were like, are we even gonna release this?
Yeah,
like,
that was one of the ones where we were like, okay. But I think we were just like, fuck it. Like, let's just, whatever.
Yeah, but just a fun one.
Yeah. Learning to Love Ourselves with Birds Papaya was episode 8. And wow, Sarah from Birds Papaya has just fucking
blown up.
Like, taken over Instagram.
Oh, she's so lovely.
She's so lovely, and she's so, like, just such a powerhouse, man. Like,
honestly,
just works so fucking hard. It was such a pleasure meeting her. She's like so sweet and like probably one of those people that you would think that you would want to meet in person, kind of thing, and you're like, oh, would they be the same? But like, she's so sweet and so great in
she
person.
Is the same.
yeah. And like, I think that a lot of people you know, because I'll read through her comments, and I feel like a lot of people, when they first follow Sarah, if you guys don't know who Sarah is, I'm sure you do at this point, because again, she's a friggin' rock star. Her Instagram is kind of all about like self-love and like her journey around that, and like body image and all that kind of stuff. And for me, when I first found her, it was like a really cathartic experience, mm-hmm. because it was just so bizarre in a way to see someone just like presenting their body as it is mm-hmm. naturally. And it was like really healing as well. And I think that a lot of people have that experience, and talking to her in person, I felt similarly.
Yeah. I remember after she left, cause she actually, back when we were allowed to have people in our houses,
I know,
she actually came to film the podcast in our house. Mm-hmm. And after she left, you and I were both just like so moved, and like I took a picture of my belly, do you know what I mean? Like, I was really struggling at that point with my body image, and like how I was feeling and stuff like that. And so that was like really wild for me to take that picture. And I think that that's actually the day that I decided to stop editing my body and photos.
Yeah,
because you decided to do that like long before I did. I was like, nope, I'm hanging on to that.
It was 2000, I think it was January 2019 when I stopped, which is also, it feels like it's been so much longer than that. But one of the things that Sarah said in that episode was, she was talking about how like she was always really self-conscious about people like feeling her stomach or seeing her stomach or whatever. And so she would never let her like ex-husband ever touch her there. And then she was like laying down in bed with her now husband. And he touched her stomach and she like went to go move his hand away or like react. And then she was like, no, like I deserve this. And then we all started sobbing in the episode. And like, I still like, I think about that moment because it was such a like, I had such a visceral reaction to it because it was like, man, like I just know that so well. And like, it's so sad in a way that like we all can kind of relate to experiences like that. But at the same time, it was like just hearing someone say that out loud and also like going through the motions of just being like, no, I am going to be okay with this. Like I am going to like let myself, you know, experience this is just like.
Well, and she's so poetic too. Like just such a writer at heart, right? Like she started as a blogger, if I recall correctly. And just the stuff that she writes, it's just so vulnerable and like raw and real. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you have to be that way, but it's just such like a pleasure and an honor to like be witness to it from her. So yeah, no, she's just such a like a treat on social media, honestly.
Yeah. And you know? she has her own podcast now as well.
Yeah, and she got to number one, top and new and noteworthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's freaking just killing it, man.
Yeah, she deserves it.
Quitting our jobs and following our dreams with Shaughnessy. So Shaughnessy, I met through, she does microblading. And now she does restorative tattoos as well for like cancer survivors and stuff like that. But she's also fucking awesome. Like she's so great. And she just has an interesting story, like art wise. But yeah, it's just going back to like you quitting your job. I can never get over it because it's like you were so dedicated to the career that you had before you were living here. And it was kind of like every time I would see you, like every few years or whatever, like after high school, while you were still working that job, I was like, I wonder if like, that's just like, not that that wasn't like an incredible career because it was, but I knew that you had like other things that you wanted to pursue outside of that, from, you know, a young age and stuff like that. And I was like, I wonder if that will be like the career or if she will at some point just be like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to go do something else and like whatever. And it's just been so interesting to watch you just like pick things up and try them and try something else and whatever. Like, it's such a like pleasure to witness.
I was, because we're packing, because we're moving, I was going, it takes me so long to pack because I go through every single like sentimental thing that I have. I'm talking every notebook, every page, every card. And I found the card.
Doodles even. Like,
I found the card that Sam wrote me when I quit my job. And she said so many beautiful, like nice things. I cried. And then at the end, and she said, all of this today about fucking time. All of this to say about fucking time. So it's so true. She like, she wanted me to quit my job for like so long and just like follow my dreams.
I'm a big pusher. I'm a big advocate for people making an irresponsible choice.
But the thing is like I mean, look at me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so much healthier. I've made so many good decisions. It's not to say that, like, that career was, like, damaging or anything like that. It's just I wasn't taking time for myself.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just, like, existing instead of, like, I didn't even know what my core values were. I remember you asking me one time, and I was like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I hadn't, like, really spent time with myself. And it's funny because people like actually often ask me like, how do you make money and like what do you do for work? And it's like, you know, you can truly make money basically in any way that you want to if the circumstances are there for you. And I was lucky enough to like come into this house where you had so much knowledge about social media. Do you know what I mean? And I, you know, took chances, and I'm not fucking rolling in the dough, you know what I mean? But like, I pay my rent, yeah. I pay my bills, and you know, it's the sky's the limit, really. You know, like, you can just try and try, and as long as you are happy, like, I made like a really good amount of money doing what I was doing before, but literally to me, like, no amount of money is worth how like sad I was.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think, too, it's, like, the reason why I push so many people to quit their jobs is because, like, I feel like it's only that scary once. And so for me, like, I got into social media because I got fired. So I didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I had that decision. It was like that decision was made for me. But I remember before I got fired being like so scared, like, well, I can't just fucking quit my job. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. And do what? Like, and pay my bills how? Like, get around how? Like I, you know, I had all of those questions kind of thing. And I knew that I wanted so much more for myself, but I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to get from point A to point B, and I don't know where to even start. And then, like, having that decision made for me, it was only that scary once. Mm-hmm. And then you get into this habit of putting yourself first, mm-hmm. and trying new things and not being afraid. And I just think that, like, that's such an empowering position to be in. And so that's why, like, I like to, like, push people in that direction, because, like, the thing is, like, you can always go back to what you did before. Not always, obviously, there's, like, always some kind of, there may be a point where you can't, but, like, you know, for the most part, it's, like, you can always kind of go backwards, but when you do experience, like, truly moving forward for the first time, it's like you're never as scared to be like, no, okay, I'm done with this now. Like, I tried it, didn't like it, whatever. I'm like on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And like just keep evolving and changing and stuff like that. And that's why, like, I think it's so cool to watch you have picked up so many different things, because you are exploring all of those things that you were passionate about from a really long time ago. You became passionate about more recently. Like, you know, like all of these different things. And it's just, I feel like you're so much more in tune with yourself and like what you're enjoying and what you're not, and then just kind of, you know, adapting how you need to adapt to just like live a good life.
Yeah. And I think what's really cool, I kind of like silver lining sort of thing, you know, like this pandemic has been really, really, you know, tragic, mm-hmm. and really hard on mental health and all of these things that we know to be true. But something that has been cool for me to see is people being really creative as well.
Yeah.
With how they can now, you know, supplement their income, because of course so many people have lost their jobs and are struggling. But I do see people like taking skills that they didn't think were monetizable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a word, but and
it is fucking now.
Yeah. And then offering it to the public for a price, and then the public taking it and them running with it and stuff like that. I just think that is so cool. And you know, I do feel like I've gotten more creative. Like, I have now, like, my hand in so many little different pots. It's like, okay, so I can I can be successful in this way here. And then I can, like, pull some money in this way, and I can do this. And so it's like, yeah, like, my brain's a little frazzled sometimes, because I'm like, okay. But I'm like, okay, I have money coming from here and then over here. And you know what I mean? It's like, before I, more so it was like, okay, I'm giving my time so that I can get a paycheck from this one place.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, how can I put more energy and like more creativity into this so that I can now do this? And then it's like, okay, I edit your videos. Okay, so that I know is like, okay, I have availability there. And just all of these little different things that like it would have never been an option for me if I hadn't quit my job.
Just a moment to thank today's first sponsor, which is Rothy's.
It's 2021. Nobody has time for uncomfortable shoes.
I will say 2021 brought in some good things for me. Aside from like a child, okay? These shoes. I feel like the podcast, I need to like thank, because without it, I wouldn't have experienced true comfort on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. I don't want to live that life.
Well, and especially as a pregnant person, do you know what I mean?
Oh, God,
it's like Rothy's came in just at the right time for you.
They really did. They were like, we know what's going on over there in your uterus, and we're here for you. Rothy's is also made with 100% recycled materials like thread spun from plastic water bottles.
Rothy's are fully machine washable and available in tons of shapes, styles, colors. You can always find the right one for you.
So if you guys want to upgrade your closet with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's, you can go to rothys.com/approachable to find your new favorites today.
That's R-O-T-H-Y-S.com/approachable.
Thank you so much, Rothy's. And last but certainly not least, a huge thank you to Talkspace. Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform that has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more.
The positive effects of therapy will create lasting change in all areas of your life, your relationships, your career, and your overall happiness. A therapist can help you identify the habits and patterns that might be holding you back and how to move forward in the right direction. At Approachable, we wholly believe in talk therapy and we wholly believe in Talkspace. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, and instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist 24/7 and they'll engage with you daily, 5 days a week.
It's also secure and private, using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations.
As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and use the code Approachable to get $100 off.
That's Talkspace.com and use code Approachable for $100 off your first month. Thank you so much, Talkspace.
Yeah, it is. I agree that it's cool to see like how many people were started pursuing like creative endeavors and stuff like that during the pandemic, just because for one, a lot of people just suddenly had the time to.
Yeah.
When they didn't before. And then obviously the downside for a lot of people as well was that they were losing jobs and stuff. But it's, yeah. I mean, that's that human resilience, man.
Yeah.
People just like making it happen and figuring it out. And I think it's been a very transformative time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Rob Beauty Christie.
Oh.
She was on so early too.
God, we haven't seen her in forever.
I know. It's so odd that she was at the house.
She was, yeah.
And now that's like never hasn't been a thing for another year. But we talked about chronic illness with Christy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that episode was brutal to edit because like we talked for like 3 hours.
Oh yeah. I didn't edit that episode.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that one was, it was like, it's not that it was brutal to edit. Like, the conversation was so interesting. But
didn't we break for dinner?
Yes. We broke for coffee. And we came back.
Oh,
and I had
boy.
To cut it down into, how long was that episode? I had to cut it. It still ended up being an hour and 45 minutes long.
Which is crazy.
There was just so much said in that episode. Like, mm-hmm. we just talked and talked and talked. But honestly, like, Christy obviously is just such a, like, phenomenal human as well. Mm-hmm. So and also has been through like so much, so there was just a lot to say.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's something I've learned so much about you is like I knew that you had like chronic illness, but I didn't really like know much about it.
Mm.
And that's something that like over the time that we've lived together, I'm like, damn. You got some fucking shit going on, like, to an extent that I didn't really realize.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that, like, I make you come to all my doctor's appointments.
Now I'm very in the know.
Yeah. Yeah. But thankfully, other than the IUD now hurting my back, one of them has been resolved. That lipoma that was in my back, I did end up getting it removed. And it was, in fact, what was causing my pain, even though they told me so many times it's not what was causing my pain.
And that's why you advocate.
That's why you advocate. It was wrapped around a muscle.
Yeah.
Causing me severe pain.
Oof.
For 10 years.
And she wasn't put under when that was removed from her back. I want that to be fucking noted because that's just absolutely outrageous.
Well, the thing with lipomas is they usually, number one, it looked a lot smaller on the MRI that I had because it was like wrapped around tissue. I don't know what happened, but anyway, it looked a lot smaller than it was. But usually lipomas are like more on just under the surface and you can kind of just like plop them out. I think had they known what the situation was, they would have put me under.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could feel the, I don't know if I should say, and trigger warning, I guess, blood. I could feel the blood gushing down my side. It was just horrific. And I was in there. They said it was going to take, what, like 15 minutes?
Yeah, I think so.
And it took like an hour to cut that bad boy out of me. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Anyway, I freaking, like, night and day.
I remember what you were wearing. You're wearing your black Adidas, like, big hoodie.
Yeah, and I regretted it because I was fucking sweating buckets.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that that's resolved. And actually, I don't know if Christy talked about her infertility on there.
I feel like she did because she talked about
I'm sure.
PCOS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Christy, she has a baby. She has a baby now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh my goodness. Oh, Christy, back then she wouldn't even have known that it was like an option. I know
she was gonna be a mama.
Christy.
And now she's like such a mom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She really it's awesome. Episode 11 was how do eating disorders start, and we had on our perfect, wonderful, beautiful angel therapist Annie.
Yeah.
For that. She used to work in the eating disorder clinic at one of the hospitals downtown.
Yeah.
And so she came out and talked to us about that, which I feel like this first season, the thing that I'm just reflecting back on now was like that first season we dealt with a lot of really, really like heavy topics. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was something that we decided kind of moving forward. And as, you know, we got into later seasons and stuff is that like we wanted to have some lighter episodes in there too, because I think as much as like it's really nice to touch on topics that are more taboo, and that was kind of the whole point of Approachable in the beginning, it was taking these like hard to talk about topics and making them a little bit lighter, but you know, you also just
takes an emotional toll on you as a person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that as a listener too, it's mm-hmm. it's sometimes nice to just like have a break almost.
Yeah.
Like, and have it just be content that's for like more of an escape purpose kind of thing. And mm-hmm. and that was how we felt too with recording it.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that was definitely a change. But and then we had our This Is the End, which we just answered questions in, and then dealing with addiction. We kept it light after this.
It's like dealing with addiction, navigating loss.
Yeah. Dealing with addiction, we had Matt come on, my husband, and we talked about his experience going through rehab, going through addiction, going through rehab, going through recovery kind of thing. And he we had to record that episode a second time. Why?
I think the footage got deleted of one of us, either you or me.
Oh yeah, because we were trying the three camera angles, which was pure fucking misery, because season two was when we started recording the podcast, mm-hmm. filming it.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the cameras wasn't working.
Yeah, so we re-recorded that one because we were just getting used to filming and stuff like that at the time. But
I also think that the reason that we were even so lighthearted in that one as well is because we had just filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we had some feedback on that where people weren't like super happy yeah. that we were like joking or whatever.
Which, I mean, also, you know, like that's kind of one of the things too, where it's like, this is like our story and this is like our experience. And someone actually commented saying, I can't remember if they included you into this or if they were just mad at me, but they were like, I think they did include both of us in being like, I hate how like Sam and Alyssa are like making jokes about this and like whatever kind of thing. And Matt's like talking about this really like intense subject. And Matt responded to the comment being like, it's fine. Like, and that's the thing is like, it's, you know, everyone copes with things differently. And for some people, talking about addiction is something they'll never talk about. For other people, it's really traumatic. But, you know, for us, like, it's just, it is part of our life. And it's a discussion that we have had so many times. And we,
yeah.
you know, and it is kind of more lighthearted for us at this point because, you know, it just
yeah. is. Well, and I think that at the time as well, like, people didn't really, number one, as if you haven't talked at length with your husband about his experience in addiction. And people didn't really know me still. And so they mm-hmm. didn't really know, like, what I've like been through either, or like why I had any understanding of like what Matt went through. But like Matt and I understand each other a lot more than like I think people think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But that was Matt really enjoyed recording that episode, and a lot of you guys wrote in and stuff like that, and Matt responded back to basically all those emails.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's actually like, that's a lot of emotional labor that Matt took on for the podcast, so that's really nice.
Episode 14 was how all of our breakups went down. This, oh my God, I already am like furious. I'm so furious. Like, I literally like immediately, it's like this like calm wash of rage. We talked about obviously like all of our breakups and stuff like that. And, I talked pretty at length about the one especially. But one of my ex-boyfriends actually reached out to me. I think he actually reached out to me like when that episode happened, but I had his number blocked, so I didn't see it. And then I have like an old computer that I like never use anymore, and I opened up iMessage on there, and this message from him popped up, and he was just basically like, I'm so confused listening to the podcast because, you know, I thought we were on good terms, which how? First of all, he was like, I thought we were on good terms. And, like, this was just really confusing for me. And, you know, like, you have every right to, like, talk about it if you want. But basically, like, it was just, like, such a contradictory message. It was such bullshit. Like, I can't even remember everything that was in it. But I just remember being, like, so enraged and so mad. And it's just, like, it was such an interesting thing. Because I found that message, like, a year later.
I think it was even, well, yeah, I guess maybe a year. Because that was, like, almost recent.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess 9 months because you're pregnant. Yeah. But you weren't pregnant at the time.
But yeah, it was just talking about that relationship, because I don't talk about it as much anymore because I was like 19 at the time when it was happening. And I don't talk about it as much anymore. But when I do talk about it, I'm like, I can't even believe like how bad that was and how horrible it was and how that made me feel. And I think I mentioned that in the episode because I had talked about going back through our Facebook messages and reflecting and being like, oh, holy fuck. Like, I thought I was making it out to seem like it was worse than it was, but it was actually even worse than I was
making it out
to seem. And it was just interesting when he messaged me about that podcast. It just took me like right back in there, like that feeling. It's just, ugh, man. So now that's all I think about when I see that.
I just remember that he called me ratchet. And I was like, you've met me once.
Yeah.
Fuck you, bro. And I'm still here. I'm looking directly at you. Yeah. Where are you at, baby?
Yeah. One of the lines in like the message he sent me was that, like, you know, I often like regret like how I treated you, but like I don't think that either of us would change like what we have now and the people that we love now for whatever. And I'm like, God, like you're still talking as if like you have like some kind of control over me, or that like this was your decision that you made for the both of us. Like, it's just, oh my God, the whole fucking, it was the just one of the worst fucking things I ever had to read in my life.
Yeah.
And he had a fucking earful that week.
I'm so glad. I actually realized after we recorded that episode that I left a boyfriend out. Oh, I had another one, yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. I forgot the
That's
one.
That's gonna hurt a little. He's listening to it back, waiting. And he's like, wait a second.
especially because I talked about the one where, like, we really, like, weren't together. That was the one that I watched Breaking Bad with. And I was like, it got pretty serious. We watched Breaking Bad. but that guy and I, like, he's awesome. But anyway, the one that I forgot about was the one that left me in the hospital when I had a broken foot.
Motherfucker.
That guy. Yeah. And I just wanted to quickly give him his time in the sun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You so deserve it.
Yeah, you're the best. yeah, I'll just tell our breakup really quick. We went on a hike together and I broke my foot. And we were hiking in a way that, like, you have to hike down and then you hike back up. Like, you start at the top and then... So anyway, I broke it on the way down. So I had to hike back up through the forest with a broken foot. And he was hungry. So he refused to take me... Because I couldn't drive. He refused to take me to the hospital before we had dinner. So he basically carried me into a restaurant. So he wanted ribs, specifically.
It's just, like, the fucking audacity. Like, it's like, astounding, like, what takes place in, like, the male...
Brain.
Yeah, like, fuck.
So we had to go to this restaurant that had ribs, specifically, before we went to the hospital. It was a Friday. And I had a martini because I was in, like, my foot was broken. You know what I mean?
Cannot stress enough. Broken fucking foot.
So, yeah, I had a martini. Then we went to the hospital. But by this time, it's nighttime, Friday night. Okay. Every child that had their first drink came in 10 minutes before me. So the nurse actually said, had you been here 10 minutes ago, we could have gotten you in right away. But now it's nighttime on a Friday night, and you're going to be here for hours. And my boyfriend at the time, he had a child, and he was like, I can't stay. The child was at his mom's, I'm pretty sure, also. Like, this is kind of a thing where I'm like, okay, like, maybe you can be tired in the morning. Yeah. You know what I mean? So not only did he leave me in the hospital, he asked me if he could take my car home to his house so that he could get home. And I said,
I just don't want to, like, pay for a cab, you know what I mean?
I was like, how am I to get home from the hospital that you're abandoning me at? And he said, take a cab. So anyway, ended up, he did not take my car. How was I supposed to get home? Because it was actually my left foot that was broken, so I could drive. But at the time that I broke my foot, I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
Didn't want to drive. So yeah, I wasn't allowed to take any painkillers at the hospital because I had to drive home in the morning. I ended up leaving the hospital at 6 a.m. I think I got there at like 10. And we broke up the next day.
And for the best.
Yeah, so.
Good riddance.
Yeah, you know what? And he also didn't want to date because I was moving to Toronto. And then, but I was only going for like a couple months. And he was like, I don't want to do long distance. And then he ended up dating someone who was going to Toronto.
Perfect.
Yeah. So just, I mean, I'm not like bitter because like I'm also happy, like dodged a fucking bullet.
Yeah.
But fuck you.
Yeah. And now you get your shout out.
Yeah. Sorry I missed you.
There you go. I can understand why you fucking left him out.
Yeah.
Navigating loss was the next one we did. We talked about your papa.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah. Pretty self-explanatory. I think a lot of people skipped that episode because it was really hard to hear, and that's totally fine.
But for the people that did watch it, I think that was a really meaningful one.
Yeah, you know what, a lot of people did and still reach out to me about them dealing with loss and stuff like that, so
yeah. Which I think that's kind of like what's cool about this is like it's kind of like this archive that I think is nice to go back through and like find like a topic that you want to just like hear people speak on, like, and I think that's I don't know, I feel like we created a good little thing here.
Yeah.
And then we did answering the internet's burning questions, which was like a lighthearted one. And then it was your getting sober episode.
Finally getting sober, ?
Mm-hmm.
I was only 2 months sober in that episode.
Yeah, and I think you were struggling a little bit more at that time.
Yeah, I definitely never said like, oh, I'm going to be sober forever. Yeah, I mean, people always ask me, I still say to this day, like, I never say I'm never going to have another drink. I don't think that that's beneficial for me and my recovery or whatever. Like, I can't. This is what I say. I can't imagine having a drink.
Yeah.
Like, even when people are drinking around me or whatever, like, I actually cannot fathom. I still have the exact same two beers that were in my fridge when I got sober. You know, it's not even, like, a thing for me anymore at all. So I can't imagine a time that I would feel like I want, because there have been times, even recently, like, within the last couple months, where I'm like, ah, like, it would be kind of nice to have, like, a drink on a patio sort of thing, but never enough to throw away what I've gained.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I really can't imagine a time where I would actually like follow through on those actions.
Well, and I think too, like, it's something that, you know, it's understandably like you're really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think that, like, as much as of course it was obviously like difficult for you in the beginning, it's just such a sense of like pride and accomplishment, and you know, it's just been like a good thing for you. So
yeah, I bring up being sober like vegans bring up being vegan, for sure. Any option there is, any time I get where people are like, did you have a drink?
I'm sober.
I'm not even joking, that's the way that I am. Yeah, honestly, there was somebody the other day who said, did you have a Bevergino last night? Instead of saying no, I said, I'm sober, I don't drink ever.
And you're like, yeah, that's fucking right, bitch.
Yeah,
I was also in that appointment.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, parasocial relationships. Actually, that was a really, really popular episode too.
Yeah.
Which I think as well, we were like, are people going to be like interested in that one? But that was something that, yeah, we talked about parasocial relationships, which is basically kind of like the one-sided relationship we experience through following people on social media. And it's, people reference that one to me all the time.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, I know I have a parasocial relationship with you. But even in the episode, I was like, I do.
Same,
that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, like for me, I do feel like we're all friends because, like, again, like my little community on Instagram and YouTube is like, it's so much smaller. You know what I mean? Like, I do recognize names and stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
And like, there's quite a few people who I like actually know quite a bit about their lives.
Yeah.
So I'm like, But it is such an interesting topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a super popular one.
I'm parasocially in a relationship with Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson's breakup.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was a tough one to move past, man. Not that, I mean, I think that, like, you know, Ms. Grande is, like, possibly in a better place now. I don't know about Pete, but there's something special and spicy about their relationship, you know?
Yeah. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I feel that way about MGK and Megan Fox. I know you don't feel the same. I know it.
I just, across the board, I hate Machine Gun Kelly. Let's just preface it with that. For anyone that's confused.
Yeah.
He is the worst.
But, like, I just think that they could be soulmates. I don't know.
Guess we'll fucking find out. We did our experience with talk therapy, which that's a big one.
Yeah.
We've talked at length, not just on that episode, but on multiple other episodes about going to therapy and stuff like that. And I think we both stand by that is, like, one of the best decisions you can make for yourself if you have the right person that you click with.
Yeah. And if it's, like, available to you as well. I mean, it's so hard when you can't get it covered, like, subsidized and stuff like that. But when you find the right one and you can put the funds towards it, mm-hmm. man, it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
You know? Just crazy. Like, the way that I am now versus 2 years ago is just, like,
oh my god, unreal. Same. Yeah. The growth over the past, like, few years has just been crazy. It's so weird to, like, reflect back on, like, how I used to think about things and react to things and even communicate. And it just makes all the difference.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm such a good communicator in relationships now.
Yeah.
Like with my partner.
Yeah.
Like, I feel very, like, level-headed. I'm not saying things to be mean. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. reacting. Like, I take a step back. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt and I, our communication has gotten so much better, too, over mm-hmm. the past few years. One of the episodes that we did was, what are you going to stop doing in 2020? Little did we know, everything. Yeah. We were not yet aware. I think that we actually recorded this, like, it was released January 22nd of 2020, but I think that we recorded it quite a bit before then.
We recorded it on January 1st.
Yeah, which, so young, so naive. So naive. Oh boy.
Yeah.
And then we talked about COVID for the first time. Oh no. Wait, where is that?
Oh, I don't know.
Hold on a second.
Did it get deleted?
Where is that episode? There's no way we deleted it.
We didn't delete it. I mean, did it get deleted?
Oh, you think so? Do they do that?
I don't know. What the fuck? Yeah, that's not on here at all.
Oh my god, we leave approachable with a conspiracy.
Well, I've never deleted anything off of there.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we did an episode called The Elephant in the Room, and we talked about COVID, and it was so early on. Like, I think there was 175,000 cases total mm-hmm. in the world when we recorded that episode.
Yeah, it was, like, very new, and I just had a fucking feeling, man. Like, in Canada, people weren't really talking about it that much,
yeah.
and people weren't worried about it at this time, and I was just like, God, I just feel like this is gonna be a thing.
Well, and it's crazy now, like, oh, I really hope that we still have that episode somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it is so crazy, like, just what I thought it was gonna be in the beginning versus what it's turned into. Like, now it's so weird to even imagine having someone at your house.
Yeah.
Or being able to, like, hug friends and stuff. And, yeah. like, I watch like movies where people don't have masks on, and I'm like, what are they doing at this concert? Like, it's so weird, like, how much you just, like, adapt to, well, this is life now.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember, like, in, I think around March is when it started to be more of a, like, global thing. Like, we were all, like, really paying attention and, like, oh fuck, like, this is a thing now.
Yeah.
Because in January and February and stuff like that, I think it was more of a, like, you know, like, a lot of people are kind of like, yeah, it's nothing to be, like, concerned about. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's happening. But, like, and then March was when everyone was kind of like, oh.
That's when we went into quarantine.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time that Twitter, like, instead of having, like, highlights on Twitter, which just was, like, everything that is trending or whatever, it was only COVID news. And so, like, every single day I would log on to Twitter and I would see, like, what the new update was and stuff. And it just, God, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, and we're still, in Canada, we're still doing, like, extremely poorly.
Yeah. Worse than ever.
Yeah.
Which is, like, we thought. Yeah. Episode 38, we chatted with a friend of ours from high, well, a friend of yours more so from high school.
Yeah.
An acquaintance of mine.
Holly.
Holly, about becoming a teen mom. And I feel like that episode was really well received too.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people resonated with it, and Holly was just like a natural, honestly, like, mm-hmm. speaking about it, and it was so great to hear her speak as a mom.
Yeah,
because, you know, I knew her growing up and stuff like that, and obviously when we were so young when she had her son, so we obviously drifted, and we had drifted throughout high school and stuff, so it was really, really cool to see her speak like that and talk about, like, I remember asking her, did it feel weird, like, going into, because she had said that it's sometimes different, like, being a young mom, like, are you the nanny? And I was like, is it uncomfortable, like, going into parent-teacher interviews because, you know, you're so young?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I mean, I don't even really think about it now because I'm there for my kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're a mom.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, we're getting older now, you know, like, we're 27,
I'm 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, though, for trying to rope me into your youth.
We're one.
Yeah.
Same. So I think that, like, obviously when she was 19, you know.
It was so different.
So different, but, yeah, and her saying that her son says, you're like, you're cool because, like, you're fast and stuff like that.
I'm
like, oh.
Well, and even I remember when she was like, yeah, I was having a conversation with him the other day, and we were like, oh my God, like, you're having a conversation with a child that's yours. Like, that's it. Like, it's such a, it was interesting to me to listen to that because I wasn't close with Holly. I didn't know her very well, but, like, I knew of her because we're, like, our hometown is just, you know,
small.
Yeah. It feels very small. Mm-hmm. And so it was so interesting to hear her, like, talk about it in person and like, being the age that we are now and kind of just comparing that to how I remember that being a thing at the time when we were teenagers.
Yeah.
It was just such an interesting, that was such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, and I remember she said, yeah, he's a human with thoughts and feelings. I was like, oh my gosh.
He sure is.
Yeah, he's the coolest man.
Mash.
Yeah, I just want to quickly skim over aliens in Massachusetts because of Massachusetts.
And you had to say it again the other day for some reason. What was that for?
I can't remember. I can't remember why, but gosh, that's just so funny. But yeah, that one was just funny because of how I said Massachusetts.
Matt taking over as co-host. The basically the past 2 years has been Matt trying to weasel his way onto the podcast somehow. He's always like, why don't you have me back? Like, anytime I was like, what should we record? He'd be like, why don't you have me back? Why don't you have me on? And I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And he's like, we could talk about anything. Because, like, he listens to podcasts that are just, like, he listens to more so, like, comedians that they just get on and bullshit kind of thing. And I'm like, that's not what approachable is. You go in with a clear topic.
Yeah, but that was really nice of him, actually, because that was right after my lipoma removal.
Oh, yeah.
So I couldn't even, sit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one that he came on when you were sick.
Oh, I had, because I got strep throat from.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, right.
Yeah, I got strep throat from the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was, like, terrifying because that was during COVID time, obviously. God. But, yeah, it ended up being strep throat.
Yeah, you were hurting.
I was in a bad place, man.
Ugh, man.
Like, physically, I mean.
But Matt was his delight. Are we what we thought we would, are we where we thought we would be? We discussed where we thought we would end up in life and what we're planning for the future.
Why don't I remember that at all?
I don't know, but I feel like so much has changed even since then.
I was just saying, I wish we had done that, like, now.
Mm-hmm.
Because babies, I don't have one.
I don't have one. Not to me.
And I don't even know if I brought that up, like, in the episode.
I would have. Oh my God. So when we uploaded that, I would have been Wait. Yeah, I would have been like days away from finding out I was pregnant.
You were already pregnant.
Yeah, I would have already. Well, maybe not at the time we were recorded, but like, well, yeah, probably because we were recording pretty freaking
loosey-goosey.
Loosey-goosey. Like we weren't doing a lot of re-recording or pre-recording.
No.
So yeah, I would have just, I would have found out 11 days later.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So things have fucking changed.
No kidding. Since then. Yeah, I don't even remember what I said in that episode, to be honest.
So. Yeah, I don't know either.
I'll have to go back and listen to that one.
We've had the pleasure of being joined by two different doctors, Dr. Brado and Dr. Badali. It's so fun to like, fun. We were always talking about really heavy topics, but yeah, like, but like, it's so nice to be able to like talk to professionals about certain things, because I think that there were certain topics that people wanted us to cover, but we weren't really
qualified.
Yeah, like we didn't feel like super well versed in it and stuff like that. And so we're definitely, I mean, both those women have done two episodes on the podcast now, and they were both just so lovely and so great to work with.
Yeah, and both doing like such important work. Like Dr. Brado mm-hmm. is just unreal, doing so much work for like women's health and like debunking desire and stuff like that. And she's just, she really makes the conversation around sex and desire and all of the things that go into it just feel really comfortable. Like
just like the least stigmatizing conversation I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
Like it just felt like I could talk about fucking anything with this person.
Yeah.
And she would not like bat an eye.
Yeah. No, she's so fantastic. We're really lucky that she agreed to come back on the podcast a mm-hmm. second time. She's also like a wildly busy.
Yeah.
And Dr. Badali too, like coming on to talk about anxiety, first in the form of phobias and then second to talk about
postpartum
and stuff like that with Sam. And she had actually reached out to us, which is just, it's so cool that like people that I feel like are just like so important. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And like, yeah, they care sort of thing. She had reached out about Sam, one of Sam's tweets, saying that she was nervous. You were scared.
Yeah, I was asking, like, about people's experience giving birth, if they had been scared before, like, what was it like when you were actually going through labor and stuff?
Yeah, and you can just tell, like, how passionate Dr. Badali is about, like, protecting our mamas and stuff like that, so.
That was such a good episode, too.
Yeah.
We had an approachable listener on, Leanne.
Yeah.
And she talked to us about her neurofibromatosis.
Yeah.
And kind of just like all the things that she went through surrounding her chronic illness, like with addiction and, you know, what it was like on her family and her friends, or what it is like with her family and friends and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was just, it was such a pleasure to talk to her, first of all. And she had reached out to us as well to talk about that. But also, like, it was so eye-opening and she was just so open and mm-hmm. it was so great.
Yeah, I believe that she is or was doing question and answers on her like Instagram
yeah.
on her Instagram as well. I'll reach out to her and ask if she we can like link her Instagram because she was doing them. Yeah, she was just so vulnerable and open in that episode as well. And I know that she cares so much to talk about it because of her experience, right? Yeah. And like especially with the experience of pain and not being taken seriously in that, or just being prescribed, you know, opiates especially
mm-hmm.
With really no like regard for the addictive like nature yeah. of opiates. And that's just so scary. So I think that it was a really important episode, and I think a lot of people really like learned a lot from that episode as well.
Yeah, I agree.
And a lot of the stigma as well, because I think oftentimes you can think of an addict in a certain way. We've talked about that so many times as well, but I don't feel like addiction discriminates. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like if it comes into your life via a doctor or whatever, it's like it's chemical.
Well, and I think that that's kind of, you know, like you can become an addict through so many different avenues. You know what I mean? Like it's not just like because you're like a crazy party animal or something like that. And I think that it was a really important kind of perspective to bring up, because like this was something that she was doing to try and help her
to even just get to baseline.
Yeah. To be able to live her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. was, it was awesome. Our 2020 didn't go quite as planned. Episode 55. we reflected back on, I think, the first episode that we did of this season, which was us talking about what our goals were going to be for 2020. And then obviously things drastically changed.
Yeah.
But again, just kind of reflecting back on all that.
Yeah.
And then episode 56, we announced that I was pregnant.
Yes.
Jiving in there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really unsure about whether or not I was going to share my pregnancy, but here we are.
Yeah, I remember you going back and forth about it, not knowing and mm-hmm. whatever, and obviously, like, supporting you in either decision. But I am kind of glad that you did choose to share, because it's so fun to get to talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I only talk to the length of what you share.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just fun, and, like, I get to be excited about being an aunt, like, outwardly and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, I don't feel like I'm not an aunt. You know, like, I forget that we're not sisters. Like, oh yeah, we're just best friends. Like, no, man, that's like, that's my,
it goes deeper than that.
Yeah, that's my kid in there.
Yeah. But in episode 55, I think we spoke to the fact that we wouldn't be recording anymore, that we wouldn't be posting the video anymore, and we were like, we're just busy. But we had said that because originally I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to share that I was pregnant, and we weren't sure if we could keep recording.
I mean, it was true that we were extremely busy. That yeah. wasn't a lie.
Yeah.
We just omitted that, like, the main reason is because Sam's belly would be growing.
Present. Yeah, and difficult. I just, like, slowly, like, over time, like, a blanket just gets, like, higher and higher until it's, like, under my chin in every yeah. episode.
Yeah.
Then I talked about being a brand owner.
Yeah. This was a big season for you.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Auric launched
yeah.
in January of 2021. Wow. It's been such a long year. but Auric finally launched in January 2021. And so we talked about the whole development and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we had on your other friend, Kirsten.
Yeah, to talk about fitness in the online space. I was really pleasantly surprised, because I said some things in there that I was a little bit concerned about,
mm-hmm.
Especially just because with me, like, going on more of a health journey, I had gotten some, like, negative comments about my body, you know, being like that I'm trying to show off, and that I shouldn't post in actually the same clothes that I had been posting in yeah. for years, you know what I mean? Because I had a different body, and I hadn't really expected that. And so I kind of, like, said that on the podcast, and I was really pleasantly surprised in the way that people received that. And that actually ended up leading me to feel comfortable to talk about my health journey online,
yeah.
Which also seemed to help a lot of people.
And that's, like, one of your most viewed. Is it the most viewed?
It is the most viewed.
It's the most viewed video on your channel.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And honestly, I just, like, believe in Kirsten so much. I think that she's been through so much too, you know, like, she has such a story, and she's also a very, like, open and honest person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she's, like, really inspiring and empowering.
She cracks me up, man.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, she's, like, she's very, she's like a, what do you call it? Oh, God.
Like a motivational speaker type vibe?
She's just, like, an entity. Like, yeah. like, you know, she's, like, such a, like, experience kind of thing.
She's a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. Like, high energy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, rah-rah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's awesome. I just love her, man.
Yeah. She was great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Matt came back. And we talked about his views on feminism and misogyny and stuff like that, and just how his views around that has changed since we have been together.
Yeah.
So he got another moment of being co-host for just a second.
Oh, his last.
Yeah.
His last moment.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we bring him on again.
Unless he weasels his way in, because we are recording this not actually
the last episode.
The last episode. We have a couple more episodes to record.
Yeah.
But we're taking this one on. But yeah,
I remember that there was people that commented saying that they weren't going to watch that one because they were like, I don't want to like my opinion of Matt to change because they didn't know like what he was going to say. But that was, I love having those conversations with Matt because it is so nice to like just hear him even reflect on like how much he's changed and also like how like grateful he is for that as well. Because, you know, like I think like especially in relationships, it's just difficult anyways. And like growing as like a person is just difficult anyways. But Matt and I have been through the fucking ringer with our relationship and stuff. And it's so nice to like hear him reflect back because we have had like really hard times. And we have had like so many difficult discussions. And, you know, he's changed a lot and I've changed a lot. And it just, that episode to me was like, not fun necessarily to record, but I was glad that we did because it just, you know, it's always nice to kind of go back and just remember how much things have progressed for us.
Yeah.
Women in business.
Yeah, we basically just like bitched about being women in business and our little experiences.
So true.
Yeah. I had, since we released that episode, I had somebody that I was working in business with message me about my looks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Just hard, man. Like, you can be as professional as you want, and sometimes they just shoot their shot even when it's not appropriate.
Well, and it's like, kind of the discussion we were having at the time is that it's like, you feel so entitled to me that, like, you think that, like, because you're interested, you can just pull me into that conversation on a whim. Like, what the fuck? Like, we have no, there's no, I can attest to this, there was no grounds for this to happen whatsoever. There was no like oh, sorry, I misconstrued. Like, it was like the most business relationship ever. Not like flirtatious, not like, oh, that could have, I could see how that was interpreted. No. Like, the driest emails resulting in the thirstiest motherfucker. It was fucking something else. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's just disappointing, you know what I mean? Like, there are times where I think like it's brave to shoot your shot, you know, like
if that was not fucking one of them.
No, that wasn't one of them. But like I can understand how hard it is to shoot your shot sometimes. Do you know what I mean? But no, that there, no, that was not the time nor the place nor ever.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. So yeah.
But I mean, touching on being a woman in business, that's something as well that I feel like you are such a self-starter. You've like taken on so much like learning yourself. I mean, Alyssa, I've said it before already, but Alyssa basically like took the merch thing and did it all on her own. Like, set it all up and did like all the, like everything that needed to be done around it kind of thing, because I was doing shit with work and fucking being pregnant. Yeah, you just have learned like so much, and you like did it all on your own, and you just, look at you.
Thank you. I'm learning.
The ultimate woman in business.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's like when I take a step back and actually like when you tell me like, oh, it's cool that you took this course and then you like implemented it right away and stuff like that. It's like, oh, that is cool that like I can do that. And like I did learn how to edit the podcast when we were using like three cameras and
you what know. Haven't you fucking done?
No.
Honestly, like you've honed so many new skills, like you've learned so much, you've grown so much, you've like taken on so many things.
Yeah, it's been a really cool like experience living here and like getting to be together all the time and like work together and experience life together. You know, like it's just it's weird looking back, like even listening to the way that I speak in the first episodes, like I can tell I'm like so timid and like I know that you said like you didn't feel that way, but like I just feel like even in the tone of my voice, like I just know how like self-conscious I used to be and like unsure of myself and what I was saying and like worried, and I just don't really feel that way anymore. I more so feel like I'm careful because I want to be received the way I'm trying to,
yeah,
you know what I mean, come across. But I just feel so different. Like, yeah. Such growth.
Yeah.
So little time.
Yeah.
So little time, so much to do. You know what, though? In one of the first episodes, I did, like, people always say, like, Alyssa can make a song out of anything or, like, relate it back to a song. I did it in one of the first episodes. So that's been, like, a podcast-wide
yeah.
thing from, like, day one.
Oh, boy. And now we're in the final season.
Yeah.
And you're moving on to do your podcast.
To greener pastures.
Yeah. Which I'm so excited for.
You know what? I'm so excited, too. And when we first discussed ending Approachable, you know, we were thinking, like, are we going to keep it up? Like, what is going to happen to the podcast? And ultimately, we decided that I would take it over and do, like, what I was passionate about. And I was thinking, I'm like, I don't want to continue Approachable without you. It doesn't feel right to me. You know, I think that the reason that Approachable worked was because of both of our perspectives and, like, the conversation between us two. And I was thinking about what I am, like, just so passionate about and, like, love. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, it's kind of, like, in a sick way, because obviously these are, like, horrific things. Yeah. But I find it so fascinating and, like, the psychology behind it and the, you know what I mean? Like, how police work has evolved and stuff like that, and getting the stories out there. So I'm excited to, like, dive into something new. And I mean, I've already recorded by this point, and I'm excited for you guys to see it and to kind of continue on this journey with me. And I hope that you do. I hope that you enjoy it and that we stay, like, a family together. And
they will. Yeah. You will.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not taking a hiatus. So
there you go.
That wasn't meant to be like.
Yeah, so I'm not fucking taking it. You'll notice quite a few less hiatuses now. We spent the last episode just airing out grievances.
No. I didn't mean it like that. I just mean Approached will be out next Wednesday. The first episode of Approached will be out next Wednesday.
So you guys don't have to even. We're really just, you don't even have to worry about the body cooling.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's good. Like, it's like they don't have to even be like, oh, fucking Approachable's ending.
Yeah. I'll be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's coming back strong.
And I don't know. We haven't talked about this, but maybe Sam would be a guest one day. Like, I could, you know. So you just have to keep watching.
Because who knows when I'll fucking pop. And I won't, like, we're not going to put it in the title either. I'll just pop in.
Yeah.
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 So you have to listen to every episode. And you have to use every promo code.
Thank you guys so much for an amazing 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been so fun. And what a cool experience that you allowed us to have, really, together. And thank you so much for listening.
It really was just, I'm not moving on just yet. This was such a... This is like a page in our friendship to me. Like, this is like such a, it's like so much more than a podcast. I'm not going to cry. but it's like, it really was like such a learning experience, like not only about myself, but about you. And I feel like it brought us like so much closer together, and we like learned so much together. And it was just such a good, good run.
I know.
And like, so, and also I think as well, like, you know, this like allowed us to have like this kind of separate career together, you know, which I think is so cool too, because when we first started again, like, we had no idea how it was gonna go or how long we were gonna keep it up for or anything like that, and it was just so much more than it was a good thing.
I wonder if our friendship would have been as strong if we didn't start the podcast.
I don't want to say I don't think so, but like, because I don't want to, like, just sum it up to that, but, like, I feel like it definitely, it just, like, added to it so much more, and it made it, like, that much richer. And I was on a YouTube Live this morning, and people were asking, because we're moving, and so people were asking if Alyssa was coming, and I was like, oh, she's fucking coming. But people were like, oh, like, you guys, are, like, it's so, like, nice watching your, like, relationship. And people have commented that on the podcast many times, saying, like, it's so nice, like, seeing her as his friendship, and, like, it's such a special thing. You don't even understand. Like, it's just, it's even better than you think. I'm pregnant. I have an excuse.
Oh, it really, It really is. Like, somebody today said to me, you and Sam are soulmates. And I'm like, I know that it, like, sounds like I'm joking, but, like,
we, 100%.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she finally, the waterworks.
I cracked on the last episode.
She waited.
Alyssa tearing up in every episode. You had to wait till the bitter end.
Yeah.
For me.
And those are some, like, they're red.
Gosh. I'm wearing my lashes.
I'm sorry. I'll buy you new ones.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know that you made your ex-boyfriend buy you lashes when he made you cry.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
And I deserved it. And I deserve it now. But anyways, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Sam, for being the best co-host a girl could ask for.
Thank you. Same to you. And I'm so excited to see you as not a co-host, but just a host.
Yeah.
And then I'll be the guest co-host sometimes.
Yeah.
Again.
Maybe.
You have to check in.
One time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to promise anything. She's going to have a kid, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. So true. So true. All right,
okay,
guys.
Guys. For the last time.
Yeah. I won't see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Yes, I will.
My eyes are murky. I've sweated in this room for the last time.